I wanted to like join in her project, I should be able to access her world.
So if the two of you are going to bang wood together.
Oh, God.
You said it, man. I'm just asking a question. It's a simple question. Alrighty, welcome to episode 59 of the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. It is our normal time again. We are recording on a wonderful Saturday morning for me here in Brooklyn. How are you guys doing?
Oh, awesome. I'm excellent. Is there anything fun to say about the number 59? I don't think it is. I think this is
It equals 14. Yay!
59, dude! Oh, wow. No, that's wrong. That's completely wrong.
That'd be like a weird position where you're like curling your legs, right?
A 59?
And then like, it'd be odd. I don't think it'd be very useful.
Podcast yeah, one person's like doing a push-up, the other person's would look awkward.
I don't know if that would work.
So this is kind of a weird episode because we honestly just recorded like, what, 4 days ago?
Yeah, yes. It feels like yesterday.
And then poor Scott has like double duty. But the reason why, of course, we're recording 59 now is because next weekend a good chunk of us are going to be traveling and such. So we're going to take a break
vacation.
Next week. Yes. Yes. And we'll take a break next week. So we didn't want to fall too far behind because episode 60 is going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
We don't have anything.
You don't even know what we have planned.
Totally lying. Totally lying. We have nothing planned for episode 60.
Let's do the rundown.
So let's do a quick breakdown of what we're going over this week. And we have some fun stuff, so I'm excited about it. Anyone want to read it?
Scott.
Cue crickets.
So we're going to go back to some Kickstarter projects. We're going to talk about TV shows, beloved TV shows that are facing the axe. Some news about the Avengers. Let's see. Oh, a special announcement about upcoming shenanigans on our very own podcast.
Exciting.
A new pilot for the CW and a cheap-ass Xbox. And then we're going to talk about this weekend's Mass Effect multiplayer Operation Silencer. And like the little nugget of coolness that was embedded in that message.
Yes.
Ash is going to talk about the demo for Sniper Elite 2. I'm going to do a little summer game pile action with Saints Row 3. And Hillary is going to talk about Minecraft on Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. And then this week's open thread community question was, you are in a post-apocalyptic world. You can have one sidekick from any movie or game. Who would you choose and why? I actually have an answer for this question.
I do too.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I don't yet, so I'm going to have to think.
I thought of that question while playing multiplayer with Scott.
Yeah.
It was good time.
Sweet.
So what's everybody been up to?
Yeah. What have you guys been up to?
Okay.
We're professional. This is a supernatural podcast this
week. Yeah.
Totally into it.
We're still kind of waking up. So I've been working a lot this week. During the day job, we're getting near the end of the year. And it's really, really hectic and really crazy. So I haven't gotten a chance to play all that fun stuff this week, which is why you guys probably haven't seen me on all too much. But, this year is winding down and not really too many adventures after my near catastrophic return from the Carolinas last week. But all is going well. What about you guys?
How about you, Hillary?
Just a lot of work, which is a good thing. Crabcat has some pretty interesting things in the works that I can't wait to talk about.
Awesome.
And I had an adventure last night that we're not going to really talk about too much, but let's just say I'm hanging in there right now.
We're happy you're here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Leave it
yes, out. We're happy you made it. You're a trooper.
I'm an adventurer, yes.
Join the wolf pack. How about you,
I'm a ninja.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Saints Row 3, and oddly enough, a lot of Dance Central 2. A couple of weeks ago, we had an impromptu Dance Central 2 party at the house, and like ever since then, I'm all about it. It's like kind of I've been working it into my workout routine, I guess.
Wow,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I was never very good at it, and I just kind of figured out how to do it. There's a saying that we used to have for that, but I don't think it's appropriate for this podcast.
Whoa.
When you figure out a video game, do you remember what that was, Matt? We used to from a South Park episode, and me, you, and Adam used to say it all the time.
I don't know. It's totally appropriate for this podcast. Have you listened to this podcast?
Yeah, well, not to offend anybody in the room, but I think we call it Finding the Clitoris.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
A reference to the Lemmy Winks South Park episode,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And like, it takes you that long to find that, you have a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, hey-o.
I mean, that was I think it was like Stan or something that had to do that. But
yeah.
That's kinda like the phrase that we used to use when you finally figure out how a game works and you become good at it, when you sort of cross that threshold. Because I'm definitely not a good dancer, I just figured out how to play this game. But it's really enjoyable now.
Dance Central?
What's that?
Have you seen me play Dance Central?
Oh yeah. We watched each other play Dance Central.
It's horrible.
Ooh, yeah,
I looked like a scarecrow getting electrocuted, if that's possible.
Let me back that up. Ash was at this party, and I was at this party. There's nothing weird implied here. We never danced together, you know?
That's cool. I know who you East Coasters roll.
Yeah, you know, we're close, if you know what I mean. Waka waka.
Took 5 minutes.
Really quick about Dance Central, Allison Threscher, who is on the Dance Central team for Harmonix, is actually in the process of writing us a really cool article for the site. So
that is
awesome. Super happy to have her on, and we've been harassing her for a while. So
thanks,
Allison Threscher.
And thanks to the Harmonix team for everything you do.
Yes. They actually retweeted us that night when you guys posted a picture of the dance party.
Oh, yeah. That was totally awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's just because it was butts, and they like butts.
They do like butts.
It was two lady butts, wasn't it?
I believe it was some lady butts, yes.
Yeah, all right. So, Matt, what have you been up to this week?
I've been reading a lot. I've been reading Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman, the people who wrote the Dragonlance Chronicles, have another series called The Deathgate Cycle. And so I started that book a little while ago, and I'm like in the meat of it, so I started reading a bunch this week, cleared out a whole bunch of it.
Should we mention that you're a huge Dragonlance fan from back in the day?
Gigantic Dragonlance fan, yes.
Yes.
So that's kind of why I went to see Margaret Weiss talk at PAX East, and everybody that got up on the microphone said something about the Deathgate Cycle, and I was like, well, I guess it's about time I pick this up and try it out, and it's awesome. It's really good.
Awesome. Cool.
This is news for you guys. I've been holding it in, but I've been working on the audio player for the site, so we're going to have a new...
What?
Fancy HTML5 audio player for the website.
Sweet.
Yay.
That's awesome.
News. So, Ash, tell me about Republique. I don't really know much about this game.
Oh, okay. So, this is a project done by a team called Camouflage, and they broke off. They used to be working on games like Metal Gear and stuff like that, and they broke off and wanted to start a unique iOS, mobile project that's a stealth action title, but they wanted to have it, like, basically have AAA polish. And I first got wind of this title only a couple weeks ago, and they're asking for, like, an exorbitant amount of money on Kickstarter. It was, like, $500,000. And it's pretty incredible because as of, I don't even know, less than a week ago, they weren't even halfway funded. And then all of a sudden, basically the media picked up on it and was like, hey, this title isn't going to make funding. It was basically all the articles growing up is like, oh, you know, this isn't – there's no way. They were like at one point only making like $700 a day, and they had to make $500,000. So it was looking pretty grim. But the title, the idea behind it is really cool. That you're basically helping a character get through this – horrible dystopian landscape, and you're helping her stealth around all these different environments and unraveling mysteries. So it's like a stealth title mixed with an adventure title. And graphically, it's beautiful. So it's going to be for the iOS and also for PC and Mac. It has the voices of Jennifer Hale and David Hayter, who was Solid Snake. And it looks probably to be, you know, when it's done, it's going to be one of the most polished iOS titles I've probably ever seen. But the miracle came, like literally, it had, you know, like I said, $250,000 to go with only a couple days left. And all of a sudden, the internet just kicked into high gear and people were posting like crazy about it. and it met funding with like 6 hours left and went over. So definitely, if you haven't looked into Republic, you know, do a Google search, and there's information about it floating around. And it looks to be released in right around June 2013 is when they're aiming for now. So we have a little bit of a ways to go, but it is looking pretty awesome. Sort of one of those miracles of the internet, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I saw that, like, even with 3 hours to go, I think they needed, like, 50K. It was, like, 8 hours left or something like that. And I was like, wow, they're not going to make it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, when the hobo comes in at the end of UHF with the penny, he's like, I can buy all these shares and B52s, you know.
But I got really like I got really into tracking their progress and actually kicked some money their way, even though I didn't really have like money to blow on it. But a lot of their rewards are pretty cool. Like you know, like I don't know, I didn't even spend that much, and I get
like iPhone cases and
Nerd
like...
Appropriate's going to be in the credits. So what?
Nice,
awesome.
Yeah, good
yeah.
Job.
So go team.
And I'm kind of stoked on games lately that have like female like main characters. I feel like there aren't enough games like that.
Well, like it's interesting you say that because Jennifer Hale is not voicing the main protagonist. She's actually voicing the main villain in this. Mm-hmm. And the main protagonist is a character named Hope. And Hope is supposed to be a really rich, well-rounded, realistic female character who is very strong. And I agree. We need more like that. And I think finally, I don't know if Hillary, if you want to agree, but in the past like 5 years, I think we have gotten a lot of really strong female protagonists in games. More so than in the past, where it was just like cartoon.
I'd say we've gotten the option to get stronger females.
That's
in
true.
Games. I don't know that they've been like. I can't name a lot of games that just had a female lead, and that was all there was. It wasn't like a choose male or female. It was just like, here's a lead female character. Like that's kind
of
rare.
I was thinking specifically of Beyond Good and Evil and Hydrophobia as the two.
Yeah, Beyond Good and Evil is like 10 years old now, though, right?
Yeah, but they're supposed to be making a second one, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
I don't know. I would say that maybe even cross media, there's more prevalence of strong female protagonists. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, ever since the backlash from Twilight with the girlfriend or the girl who all she wanted in life was a boyfriend who is a murderer, who sparkles in the sunlight. Yeah. I didn't even look at
Twilight in that way before.
Yeah. Yeah,
All she wants is a boyfriend who's a murderer.
all she wants is a boyfriend, and she'll kill herself to stay with him. So yeah, I mean it's a strange message, but I think there's been a lot of resurgence of strong female characters, and personally I love it. But yeah, I'm cool with just even the option because you know games allowing more people to play is something that I'm all in favor for.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Great.
Cool. So this week. News came out because this is when the networks start cleaning house and announcing what's going to come back next year and what's not. And I think Ash, you retweeted a story that came out on Twitter saying that it looked like Community, 30 Rock, and Parks and Rec were all getting canceled off of NBC, which is gigantic because those are the three like strongest comedies they've had in the past decade that have been running on Thursday nights. So the good news is. As of Saturday, everything got finalized, and 30 Rock, Community, and Parks Rec are all coming back for half seasons, though. So what that means is 30 Rock, I think, is pretty much done. They've kind of announced that this is it, that they're already planning on doing this half season and then clocking out. You know, that's, I think, 7 seasons or 8 seasons for them, which is a pretty long run. So I can't begrudge 30 Rock. Community, on the other hand, is hanging by a thread. I think there's rumor that Chevy Chase might not come back next year for the half season, and that if this half season doesn't pull some great numbers, that that's going to be the end of Community. And then Parks and Rec came back and had stronger numbers than Community this year, so they're thinking Parks and Rec might be okay. They're just, I think along with this announcement of these shows going away, the real reason is that they also picked up 8 brand new pilots, which is a lot of pilots to pick up for a new season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Definitely coming back is Grimm. For us sci-fi fans, Grimm is coming back for a full season. Did not get canceled. And I think Once Upon a Time made it, too. I know you guys are all fans. I think
it's coming
back as well. Canceled, though, is Alcatraz. Wah, wah.
Boo.
gone.
That's super sad.
I was really digging that show too, and it's done. But J.J. Abrams does have two shows coming back, and I think NBC picked them up, if not Fox, one of the two. And one of them is another kind of spy, weird spy. Like, it's not as straight up spy as his other. It's like Alcatraz, where it's a weird kind of hybrid of supernatural and
you gotta
spy
do something
stuff.
With those leftover scripts from the Undercovers.
Yeah, he basically took like what was left from Alcatraz, it sounds like, and what was left from Undercovers, and was just like, what if I just like mix the pages together and then just like put that out.
Oh man.
And they're like, what are you gonna call it? And he was like, J.J. Abrams super weird lamp show. And they're like, all right. So that stuff is coming back. Alcatraz is canceled, but we are in the season of announcements, so I'm gonna try and keep up because the TV stuff seems to fall in my lap a lot and I enjoy it. So I will try to get some more announcements out. But the good news is, you know, at least we are getting at least a half season of Community, Parks and Rec, and 30 Rock. And we'll go from there. As I tweeted out yesterday, you know, that, hey, everything's confirmed, they're coming back. Like, the only thing you can do, and if you really like Community and you want it to stay, then frigging watch it. Like, it's not that hard. You can't DVR it and sit on it for a week and watch it a week later. It gets no credit that way, and it's not going to come back. So,
but it just shows how fucking broken the system is. Like, the show is still being watched, but there's no way to register that it's being watched, and that's not really fair because,
well, but there's questions with DVR though too, because are they watching commercials? That's how they're making money.
True.
Does anyone here really watch the commercials? I don't
watch
them.
I haven't
Hulu,
watched
so.
A commercial in like 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I do watch them on Hulu.
Yeah, I watch
well,
them on
you
Hulu.
Know what, you know what's funny is that I have DirecTV, and when you pull from on demand, so if I would go to NBC on demand, for instance, it doesn't allow you, or ABC, it doesn't allow you to fast forward through the commercials. Mm. But if you DVR it, it does.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. TV industry is ripe for some disruption. So let me
quickly point out, PS, that back when we did our fall TV Death Watch, like earlier this year, Matt predicted Grimm would get 4 episodes. Ash predicted 8, and I predicted 10.
Ooh.
You said you wanted it to go 10, though. I remember that. You said, I just wanted to make it 10.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
It is a
good show.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So in other news, it was confirmed by Bob Iger of Disney today. Avengers 2 is confirmed for 2015. No director announced yet, but they are going to do a second one, which I don't think is a huge shock when you make $1 billion. It's probably going to get a sequel. And also, what was mixed in with this news that was more interesting, though, is that there was kind of hints and talks of an Avengers ride at Disney World.
No.
No.
Wow.
No. No.
Put it at Hollywood Studios.
No, I don't want it.
What about Harry Potter and Spider-Man? Those are great rides.
Okay, Harry Potter's great because it like immerses you in the actual universe, and you get to walk around and drink like butter beer and like pretend you're at Hogwarts. But like Doctor Doom's Fearfall is like it's nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, unless you're going to actually do a representation of like the tone of what you're actually.
But the Spider-Man ride, I mean, when it came out, that was a big deal. Like, you walk through Peter Parker, like, you walk through the newspaper office, and then you get into the ride, and it was all 3D, and, like, the thing moves with, you know, that was, like, one of the first rides that did that.
That's true.
And it would be Disney, so it'd be a little different.
Yeah.
It would be.
There is a difference.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. But it was just a hint. Nothing confirmed about that. I just thought it was interesting, so...
And also it means more traffic for Orlando, which I could kind of live without.
Sure.
They're like, hey, everybody in the world wants to go to Avengers Land. And it's like, great.
Avengers Land.
Go away.
Well, I think the other interesting thing here, though, is that it must mean that the Marvel deal with Universal is either sunsetting or that it was only with a few characters, that they didn't actually license all of Marvel.
I don't understand how that's going to work at all. Like, it's going to be so confusing for tourists. Like, Mom, I want to see Spider-Man. We'll go to Universal. But I want to see Hulk. Wait, that doesn't even make sense. Hulk's at Universal, too.
Yeah.
So it's a mess.
It is.
Total mess.
So, Hillary, you've got more Avengers news.
I do. So, just like we've talked about, I think, on every podcast I've been on, the crossover between video games and movies. So, Ubisoft actually announced this week that they are developing a motion sensor capable Avengers game for Kinect and Wii U. So it should be out next year. And also something that I noticed was that they talked about in this article that Marvel is going to be releasing through a company called Gazillion, a Avengers MMO, or actually it's going
to be
Marvel Heroes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. And of course, jumping on the MMO bandwagon, but it also said that Disney Interactive will probably release a title as well with the Avengers. So yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think of a Kinect Wii U motion sensor Avengers game? Can you imagine that? That'd be kind of interesting.
Well, everybody pause so Ash can crap on the Kinect for a minute.
I'm holding it in. Not saying anything. I was just remembering your wonderful review of Star Wars Kinect from last week, and I was
the
kind
hand
of
motion.
Like, yes, like the waggling and the figure eight motion, and I can't. Yeah.
I would say the difference being that this is Ubisoft putting out a game that is not, I mean, it's tied to the movie only in the sense that the movie just came out and made a ton of money, but it's not actually tied to a movie where it's got a release window that it's got a hit or anything like that. So I think the Ubisoft game could actually be decent.
Yeah.
I think the Disney Interactive game will be a turd, and the MMO, yeah, I don't know. That's been in the works for a while. It's been in the works since the DC MMO came out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've seen very little, which is worrisome that a game's been in development for like 2 years and I have barely seen it. And I work there and I don't see that much about it coming out. So,
Well,
yeah, apparently the game is going to be, it has like 20 different characters, the Kinect and Wii U version. And it's set within something called the Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
They're
doing the Skrull Invasion, which is cool. Like, it really has no tie to the movie. It's really just like they're making an Avengers game, which that's encouraging to me. And with a name like Ubisoft, it's Montreal, I believe, is doing it. That's cool. Like, I'm cool with all of that. The other stuff, I'm like, meh. I don't know.
I mean, I've said this before, but I think, you know, in order for games to be enjoyable, there has to be a certain level of depth. And I think a lot of motion gaming, it has not reached that level where you can actually have depth in a lot of motion games. I mean, I might catch a lot of shit for that, but name one that has, you know, is actually truly a deep experience, and I don't think they exist yet.
I
would say Zelda, but, you know, like, I don't know about the Kinect for sure, but for the Wii U, I think, like, a game like Zelda showed us what could be possible with motion gaming if somebody was willing to put the effort in, you know what I mean?
Is that a fault of something inherent to the Kinect, or is it just that the developers have not either figured out or started to make in-depth game? They look at it more as a casual gaming device.
I think we'll see what happens when Steel Battalion comes out, because uses the controller and the Kinect.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's totally insane.
Well, what's interesting is that motion sensor was all about, you know, to increase immersion, and I kind of think that it detracts from immersion, at least in my opinion. You know, I mean, when you're sitting on the couch or whatever, watching, I don't know, Mass Effect or something, and you've got your controller, it kind of becomes a part of you, and you're just sitting there getting, like, sucked into the game. Whereas if it's Kinect or Wii, you're kind of all over the place, so it's not really as, I don't know, relaxing.
I think there's a bigger risk and a bigger reward, because as soon as something on the Kinect, like, if you try to do something on the Kinect and it doesn't work, as soon as that happens, like, you're taken out of the game.
Yeah,
and I think that risk is much higher with the Kinect than it is with a controller, and that seems to be the problem with creating these immersive experiences, that the hardware or maybe the software just isn't good enough yet.
I think it's the software, honestly. I think we need some major software updates for the Kinect that make it more reactive and quicker. I think we've seen with these hackers that got the SDK and started making cool stuff with the Kinect that I don't think the hardware is incapable of recognizing you moving fast. I think the software is just in the Xbox is not keeping up yet.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a hardware issue on the Kinect. And when we get a hardware issue on the Xbox. And when we get a more powerful Xbox, that it'll all of a sudden make the Kinect feel better.
Hopefully.
Indeed.
Who knows? So, Ash, you have podcast news?
Yeah. So, I may be jumping the gun a little bit on this, but I'm excited to share it. And it's been in the works for a while, and we just confirmed it this week. But, Jennifer Hale will, in fact, be appearing on our podcast for an entire episode, hanging
Hooray!
Out, talking with us sometime this summer. So we're ironing out the dates now. Obviously, we're working around her schedule, which is like the busiest schedule on earth. But I just sent her out all of our availability just yesterday, and we're waiting to hear back. And then we'll tell you guys on the site when it's going to be. And of course, we'll have we'll open it up for questions and stuff, so you guys will be able to ask her all sorts of questions, and it should be fun. So we've been trying to get her on for a while, and she's always been super cool to our site and stuff. So it's going to be fun. We get to talk about a whole lot of cool stuff with Jennifer Hale. So I know there are a
really
lot of
funny
listeners that are fans. So
yeah, she's hilarious. So it's going to be a really fun time.
I'm excited. It's going to be good. So that's the big news. And I even drew a little ASCII rose.
I saw that. The nice little rose.
It's a classy.
You're a classy guy.
Jennifer Hale. Have an ASCII rose.
It'll be a classy podcast.
It will.
I'm going to have to not talk about, like, penises and stuff.
Yeah, or try to get me to say South American porn in the middle of an episode. Like last week.
Yes. Who's the guy that starred in Jericho? What's his name?
Skeet.
Oh, God, stop saying that word. It doesn't mean what you think it means.
Oh, God.
So yesterday I was perusing the old internets, and iFanboy posted up an article saying CW picked up a new pilot called Arrow. And I was like, why did iFanboy care about some pilot that CW picked up? And then I clicked it, and I found out that is because CW picked up a Green Arrow pilot, which is a character from the DC universe who is basically Hawkeye, but I think he has some kind of magical bow, or I think there's magic involved in Green Arrow, but I don't remember what it is. And come into a show. It's dark and gritty. I don't know if you guys looked at the picture that they posted, but it honestly reminded me of the Cape. Kind of when I saw the picture.
Interesting.
What do you guys think about this? This is the fourth attempt to bring a comic book to TV, where we've got Lock and Key, which failed. We've got Wonder Woman, which we didn't make it, and then we've got
Birds of Prey, a long time ago.
Birds of Prey came. Well, I mean, recent. Like,
okay.
Both of those were last season. Were supposed to get picked up, and they never got picked up from the pilot. So what do you guys think? Do you care?
Well, my question is this a spinoff of Smallville? Because there was Arrow was a prominent character.
They did say that. This has absolutely nothing to do with Smallville. This is its own show.
That's good, because the guy that starred – I'm going to catch shit for this – but the guy that starred as Green Arrow in the Smallville show was pretty much just a big bro, and it kind of annoyed me.
I'm not gonna lie. This guy's kind of bro-ish as well, but it's a different
CW
actor.
Though.
It's a different.
Yeah, think of the target audience.
Yeah,
yeah, it's gotta be a bro.
But
yeah,
it's
true.
It's different. It's a different actor. It's a different storyline. It has zero relation to Smallville.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well.
So do you care even that it's just a comic book show, or do you just not care at all?
In the realm of superheroes, in the world of superheroics, the man with the bow and arrow does not strike me as one who is very dynamic, because the bow and arrow has been around for a couple thousand years, and there's not very much that's super about it.
But
I mean,
you know
it's
what?
Great. You're great with a bow and arrow, but how do you make that into a TV show? You can't even shoot a person with a bow and arrow on TV.
Dude. Bow and arrow is not going to go away because we have Hunger Games now. And so that's what everyone's going to go to. They're going to be like, hey, it's a guy with a bow and arrow. I like Hunger Games. I'm going to watch his show.
You know, Archer. I would watch a show that's all about X-Men's Gambit. That would be a great show. Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, you would watch that for erotic reasons. You grew up. You're just like my wife. Gambit is this sexy card playing, sweet talking dude who all the ladies love. And I know I can read your mind. I can see it through the internet. Tell me the truth.
Yeah, okay, fine. If it was HBO, if it was an HBO or Showtime show similar to something like The Tudors or The Borgia, that would be ideal.
Oh, God. Erotic Gambit.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
Wow.
And there's something sexy about New Orleans and, you know, all of that, so.
Sure.
Gumbo.
Yeah, gumbo. Gumbos.
So, Green Arrow show
Jambalaya.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Heyo.
I mean, the only thing that interests me about this is that the CW picked it up, and the CW doesn't cancel shows unless they have zero viewers. So they're like, what did Green Arrow get this week? And they're like, 10 people, man. I'm like, oh, fuck, staying on for the whole season.
Hot off the Twitter wall, literally 8 minutes ago, CW orders 5 new shows, cancels Ringer, Secret Circle, renews Nikita, Gossip Girl, and Heart of Dixie.
Yeah, but I mean, that's after running a full season, is what I'm saying. Like, that, yeah. This will get a season just because it's the CW.
Yeah.
I'm sad about The Secret Circle. That's actually not a bad show.
Is that a witch show?
The witch show, right?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I loved that show.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
I like that. What'd you say about Ringer? Did you say that was canceled?
Yeah. Ringer is gone, yeah.
Hmm.
Poor Buffy.
Yeah, poor Sarah Michelle. Supposedly she's with child, so that's one of the reasons why.
Just like Scott's reaction.
Well, I'm pseudo updating our Death Watch. Marking off things on the fly. Yeah.
Death Watch.
Ash, I think this actually came out about a week ago, but I guess is there more news about the subscription Xbox?
No, I'm just behind.
We didn't get to talk about it, right?
I'm just behind. Yeah, we didn't talk about this, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's just a quick hit, but. There's a $99 Xbox that's available, and it has a nice beefy hard drive and all that. But it also requires you to... It doesn't have a hard drive?
4 gigabyte version.
4 gig.
Oh, it's the 4 gigabyte? Oh, I thought it was the 120.
No.
My apologies. Thank you for correcting me. So it doesn't have a beefy hard drive, but it's $99 Xbox, but it requires 2 years of Xbox Live, which you kind of pay on a month-to-month basis, $14.99.
Yeah, it's easier of expensive Xbox Live on top
yeah.
of
yeah. Hey, yeah. guys, do you want a $200 Xbox for $460?
Yeah.
Well, you can't think of it like that. You have to think of it as a $360 Xbox or a $320 Xbox for $460. I mean, it's 2 years of Xbox Live, which would cost you $60 a year.
Yeah.
And then it's an Xbox for $100. So you're spending... I mean, a $200 Xbox for whatever the subscription works out to. It's like a $100 difference at the end of the day.
So it's like a smartphone.
Yes.
Yeah, they're locking you into a console.
It's sort of like the Boost Mobile of Xboxes. Like,
I mean, what do you guys think about this idea of lowering the barrier to entry for players? I mean, that some people don't have an upfront $400 to get an Xbox and sign up for Xbox Live, but you know, paying $15 a month, they can throw down for whatever reason.
I think it's exactly for those people, and it's, I don't know, Hillary, from a marketing perspective, do you think it's a good idea, or do you think it's kind of dumb?
I mean, I guess it depends on their goals. You know, if they're trying to clear out old inventory, no, I don't know. I think that what they're probably trying to do is lock in a younger target audience. So this actually is a very good move because, you know, parents buying Christmas presents are, you know, It's easier for them to spend $99 than it is for them to spend $500 and then not be able to give their kids anything else for Christmas, let's say. So yeah, I think it's a smart move on their part if they're trying to get younger people playing.
What do you think about this? Do you think that they've kind of saturated the market at their price point? That they know that pretty much if you have $400 and want an Xbox, you have most likely purchased it at this point in time.
Yeah.
And this is a way to get that cheaper barrier in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, kids today are probably more into handhelds than having, you know, being tethered to a home TV, perhaps. So that could be part of it as well. So maybe if they were to appeal to that demographic, that would allow them to, you know, really do the Microsoft at home infiltration that they're trying to do. So, I think it's a smart move for them, and particularly since they want to get new people interested in Xbox so that when they release 720, they have a bigger pool of people who want to upgrade.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe part of this is trying to push it down into the price point of like an Apple TV or a Roku box to, you know, not for the games, but for the media side?
That's not unheard of either. Yeah, I think it definitely enters that market at $99, you know, with a subscription fee. The only problem with that is the subscription fee doesn't actually include anything other than access to Xbox Live.
But you don't need to tell people that up front.
No,
exactly.
Let them sign up first and then find out later.
What I mean, I was actually kind of surprised it wasn't the hard drive one. And maybe that's the explanation, Scott, right there. Because I when I saw it, I was like, oh, it must be like a 60 gig at least hard drive. Or like they're throwing something in there for to get people to keep playing. But then I saw it was the 4 gig and I was like, huh, that's surprising.
It's like a media box at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that makes more sense when they're competing with like the Roku to get in your living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and there are more games. It feel like every week there's a new game that you can download through Xbox Arcade or whatever. I just feel like there's so much happening there.
Yeah.
That they'll continue to focus there.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah. But anyways, I think all around are we all saying it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I would never buy it, but
yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
But I don't think they're not aiming at us, you know. I don't think they're aiming at the 30-year-old professional who can buy an Xbox. It's just like they want the 18-year-old kid with $100 in his pocket.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Cool.
Or younger.
Or younger, yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we will come back with some reviews. So we'll be right back.
Back with a whole bunch of reviews, and we're going to go ahead and start out with Hillary, who played one of the most addicting games in the world, which is now on Xbox 360. Hillary, are you addicted?
I am. I have
to
say,
no.
it is addicting as all hell. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, running around with a pickaxe, banging stuff and collecting things and then making stuff. Awesome! Who knew?
Banging and making stuff is fun.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's what you just said.
Yeah, it sure is.
You're on a roll today, Ash. But Minecraft on 360 is really good. I tried to play it when it first came out. Actually, PAX East last year, Holly and Jessica sat me down and forced me to play Minecraft for a very long time, and I was not into it at all. So this is actually pretty cool, and I can't wait to try it out with friends, and that should be a pretty interesting experience. But yeah, building stuff, making a house, like fighting creepers, that's so pretty interesting things.
Is this the exact same game that rolled out on the computer, and they just ported it to the PC, or are there like differences? Is it the same kind of like you have a world, and then your friends can be part of that world, and
yeah,
all that stuff?
It seems a lot like the one that I played last year. So it's hard for me to say, as I was not a hardcore Minecraft fan, but
right,
it seems the same. And okay, and it, for me, using a controller is light years better than me trying to figure out how to do it on the PC.
So is it?
I am not a PC player.
On the PC, it was like, you know, you had your crafting table and you would like drop items into the table. Is it kind of the same as just like selector wheels or something on the Xbox?
Yeah. Instead, you use your triggers and your bumpers, and yeah, it's the same. The inventory looks exactly the same, but because now it's on my big TV, and
yeah,
the music is coming through my 7.1. You know,
right,
seems a lot better.
Yeah. So like I played this, you know, 'cause we obviously don't need to review the actual game because it's played by like 80 million people or whatever. I played this on my Android, but it was like a light version. That's why I was asking. So there are creepers and stuff too at night. You've got to get ready for the creepers to come in and all that.
Yep. At night you have to, you know, barricade yourself and make sure you have light. There's just as many animals running around, you know, things to pick up and trees to bang. Wow. I shouldn't say that. Trees to chop down. I'd be careful. No, but it's the same. It's the same concept. I made a waterfall last night. I was pretty excited.
How long have you been playing now?
I only played for maybe, I don't know, an hour tops.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my question, I don't know if you've encountered this yet, but my friends that play Minecraft on the PC, they have like their own server and they can go on at their leisure and work on the world, you know, and then see each other in the world and kind of build projects and stuff together. How does that work on 360? Because that's probably, to me, who I'm not a Minecraft player, but how do you actually play with other people?
I'm assuming, I haven't tried it yet, so I'm assuming that it's the same concept where you start a party and then you go into Minecraft together. I don't know. That's a very good question.
It must be persistent, though. I mean, if you go back into your world, it is exactly like your waterfall will still be there, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So they must store it up on a server somewhere.
I mean, yeah, there's got to be a server because if multiple people are working on a project, it wouldn't make sense to not have access to, let's say, if I wanted to play with Hillary, if I wanted to like join in her project, I should be able to access her world.
So if the two of you are going to bang wood together.
Oh, God.
You said it, man. I'm just asking a question. It's a simple question.
So much innuendo on this podcast now. This morning, I was telling Scott that I was going to massage his weenus later.
Oh, my God.
You got to look out for those creepers, man. There's creepers everywhere.
I think there's one named Ash.
Oh.
You already know me so well.
I do.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how much was it?
So it's 1,600 Microsoft points, so it's about $20. Whoa. Yeah.
That's what it is on the PC, though.
It is, and it is addicting. I mean, it's actually quite fun. There are achievements, too, which is, for me.
Oh, Scott.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I've never played it, and I don't understand the appeal, and I think I don't want to get hooked.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I think it's the same deal as playing with Legos as a kid. It's just like your imagination's really the limit. And the fact that you can share your creations with other people and actually interact with them. And I've seen some of the most innovative things ever in Minecraft, you know, like crazy underground dungeons with like mine carts that people built and like,
People are rebuilding worlds. Like I saw a Game of Thrones one. I saw a Skyrim one. Like people are rebuilding the worlds that they've seen elsewhere in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Totally strange.
There's the huge
an HD version with like rounded edges.
I believe that's what Epic is coming out with, isn't it?
God, I can't wait for that game.
Yeah.
Is it called Fortnite?
Fortnite, yeah.
Fortnite's going to be amazing. I foresee us playing a whole lot of Fortnite together.
Cool.
Yay.
All right.
So, Minecraft on 360. Good times.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, is there a demo? There's got to be a demo.
There is a demo, yeah. It's quite limited, but it does, you know, allow you to get the hang of it. And it walks you through tutorials.
Oh,
so
cool.
you're not alone.
Always alone. All right, Ash. Oh. What are we playing this weekend?
All right, so this is another Operation weekend for Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, which all of us love dearly. And it is Operation Silencer, and the goal for the weekend is the death of 3 million Banshees, which is a fucking lot of Banshees,
yes.
Which means they're going to be playing against a whole lot of Reapers. So the other thing for Operation Silencer is a full team extract on gold, which is kind of challenging. So definitely load up on those med kits and med packs, rather, and get ready for Operation Silencer. And the little hidden bit of information that they kind of snuck in there is it looks to be, I don't know if Vorta are available yet or if they're going to come out next week or the week after that, but Vorta are being introduced into the game. There's a little bit of flavor text that was kind of slipped in there that said the Vorta are currently being trained and they're ready to be unleashed upon the enemy. And so it looks like we're going to have a new playable race, which is pretty cool because we had talked about the Vorta in the past and they look awesome.
I have the quote right here. It says, "We are prepared to reinforce your battalion with reserves. The Vorta want in, and as soon as they complete combined arms training with our technically skilled personnel, we will let them loose."
Yes. So I don't know when that means. Oh, Hillary's just making a face. That's just not cool. So the face.
Well, there's no reason. There's no reason for me to make a face. I'm not making a face. Okay. Just so we're clear. No faces. Okay.
No faces.
So who wants to play as a Vorta?
Me.
I do.
You guys want to listen to that voice all the time when you're running around like...
That's exactly why I want it.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why everybody...
I'm down.
That's why you pick the crow in Tetris Attack, because it makes that annoying noise, the raven or whatever it is. So that's the same reason why you want the Vorta in Mass Effect.
Oh, man.
God.
Just like Tetris Attack, you guys. just like Tetris Attack. Ah!
I don't know. My favorite thing in multiplayer is they're dead.
Oh, yeah, I love
That's the best. The Krogan is the best. Anyway.
So, yeah, well, I mean, I'm just going to keep doing the Vorcha voice if we sit on this for too long.
Do you guys hear that sound? You guys hear that sound? That's the sound of our podcast grinding to a halt.
It happens on occasion. So anyway, I played a little bit of Operation Silencer this morning, and I'm probably going to play a little bit after the podcast, and I'm excited to see if this goal is accomplished. So far, all the goals have been met, so I think this one is going to be met as well. But 3 million is a pretty high number, so.
It's pretty high.
We can do it.
Can banshees be killed in Fort Kick-Ass?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to fight them for the gold, right? It's just any full team extraction.
I want to say that they shut down Firebase White for the weekend. The announcement said Firebase White has been compromised. So I'm thinking that White isn't an available map this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But you don't have to fight the Reapers for.
No, you can fight anything.
You can fight anything for the full
gold extraction.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So, Scott, you've been playing one of my secret favorite games of the last year.
Yeah.
I'm noticing you playing, and that is Saints Row the Third. How's that going?
We're going to keep doing our summer game pile. So, yeah, I've been playing Saints Row the Third, and I thought it would be timely to talk about it anyway, since I think the last DLC from the Season Pass came out maybe like a month ago or within the past month, and they also recently announced that their previous April Fool's joke of Enter the Dominatrix is actually going to be not DLC, but actually a standalone game that they're going to sell at retail on disc.
I do not know what this is.
Yeah, so I'll back up.
Really? So Enter the Dominatrix is a standalone game?
Yeah, it's going to be a standalone disc. I don't think you need the original disc to play, and I think it's going to be like maybe in the $30, $40 range, something like that. It's going to come out later this year.
Wow. You were mentioning to me that this DLC, the Saints Row DLC, is going to have superpowers. And that's one of the things when we were reviewing Saints Row, we said, wow, this engine's so incredibly fun. It would be great to actually have like powers and abilities, because it was almost to that point near the end anyway, where your character just becomes so incredibly powerful, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the next logical step, because pretty much if you play a significant portion of Saints Row 3, you get to the point where you're virtually invincible. And you can pretty much go around and do whatever you want. And so it only makes sense, I guess, like the whole idea behind Enter the Dominatrix is that it's like sort of like a take on Enter the Matrix. And you sort of go into this world in which you have these bizarre superpowers, like high jump and running fast and shooting fireballs. And everything's got like a really kind of like weird name. I can't remember. I lost the article for it. But
like the Penetrator?
Yeah, it's like... I think the actual April Fool's joke was, use Dominatrix weapons as your own, such as the floppy alien tentacle bat, the fire in the sky alien abduction ray, the sphincter stretching alien anal probe, as well as the, let's see. Oh, so this was from the April Fool's joke, but the powers were like, really, really high jump, really, really fast sprint, shiny blue force field, shiny blue fireball projectile of doom. So I mean, anyone that's familiar with Saints Row knows that the game is like completely over the top.
Yeah,
it's like open world mayhem. Like Ash said, it's kind of a guilty pleasure because it's just completely ridiculous, and you know, there's tons of like sexual reference and cursing, and but it's all like in good fun. So if, like, if you've ever been a fan of any of these games, like in the style of like Mercenaries or like pretty much any open world, like go around and do whatever you want kind of game, like Saints Row, I think is the one to beat right now. And it's so much fun. And I think that's why it belongs on the summer game pile. All of the DLCs out right now. I played two of them. Last night I did, Yankee Bowl 7 and, what was that? Gangstas in Space. And so And it's just stuff like that that makes the game like, like, for instance, let's say you've just spent 100 hours playing Skyrim and you kind of want to, like, do something with a little more level.
Exactly what I did. I spent, like, 240 hours in Skyrim. and I'm not exaggerating. And then I plugged in Saints Row, and I was like reborn. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
What laughter feels like.
Yeah, it's like after you play a game that's like emotionally draining, you kind of need to turn your brain off and play something different. And that's where games like this fit into the loop. So that's my pick for Summer Game Pile this week.
Awesome.
And,
And also, I've got to say that Tara Platt is awesome in that game.
Oh, right, yeah.
One of the female protagonists, and she was on with us, so she is super cool in that game.
She does like a Russian voice throughout the entire game, and it's completely ridiculous.
Cue audio, Tara Platt.
We are the Third Street Saints, and you are listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Yep.
Do it.
All right, so last on the review list, we've got a World War II. I didn't realize this was a World War II game, Ash. So the Sniper Elite version 2, or V2, came out this week, right? And you picked up the demo and tried it out?
Yeah, the demo's on live right now. It's been out, I think, the demo's been out for a couple weeks, and I actually downloaded it a couple weeks ago but didn't get around to playing it.
Actually came out Tuesday.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah.
The demo's been sitting in my Xbox for a little bit, and... you know, I actually really enjoyed it, and the reason why I enjoyed the Sniper Elite demo or gameplay is because it reminded me that I really kind of missed World War II shooter games, and there was a long period in gaming history where we were totally oversaturated with these games.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, there were 5-6 titles coming out every year that were based in World War II, and, you know, once Modern Warfare came out, they really kind of stopped making these. And Sniper Elite, the reason why I enjoyed it is it is a really slow, methodical, kind of a slow-paced game where you have to line up each and every shot. It's sort of a stealth shooter. The shooting mechanic is actually really involved. You have to, like, breathe in, hold your breath, you know, and make sure each shot is lined up perfectly. But it's a lot of fun. And the problem is it's not as polished as I would probably like it to be. If it were, say, like a $20 or $30 title, I'd run out and pick it up right now. But you know, as a $60 title, you know, I don't know if it's worth quite that much. But it has a great tone to it. The demo has you fighting through Berlin, sort of near the end of the war, it seems like, and everything's all blown up, and you're kind of assassinating key targets, and I was going after some German scientist who was like a V2 rocket scientist, and I had to like stop his motorcade and snipe him as he got out of the car. So it's really kind of like spy-ish and cool, but I enjoyed it. It was a fun little game. So I don't know if I would ever pick it up, but
does it seem like there's a linear story in the longer version or no?
Yeah, it seems like it's very, you know, it's going to actually have a narrative. There's stuff going on. It's probably going to be a supporting cast and all that. How well it's written and stuff, that wasn't indicated in the demo.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed the gameplay. Like, close combat and stuff like that was super clunky. The regular shooting mechanic was clunky, but the sniping was great, which is what the game is all about. So
mm-hmm.
It's not about, like, running up with a Tommy gun and, like, unloading on guys. It's about kind of pecking them off from a quarter mile away and sneaking around.
Yeah.
This game came out at retail at $50, so it didn't even launch at $60. And if what you say is true about the mechanics, it'll probably be like $30 in a couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah.
I'll pick it up for $30, definitely, just because I kind of, like I said, I'm longing for that World War II fix. So, really quick news item. You know, I know we're not in the news section, but I don't know if any of you guys were fans of Company of Heroes. And Company of Heroes 2 actually just got announced, which is a RTS World War II game, and it's one of the best RTS games probably of all time. So 2 finally got announced just this week. So keep an eye out for that as well.
Awesome.
As we learned last week, you are not a fan of Hitler.
Ash.
No, I don't.
Ash really stood up and said, "I hate Hitler."
That Hitler guy, he's a jerk.
No good.
Sorry, guys. I don't mean to step on your toes, that hating Hitler thing.
Oh, my
God. He's a bad egg.
Yeah, I think it, honestly, it's not his actions, it's just his mustache.
Right,
his
mustache. I mean, that's, clearly that was the worst part of him.
What a hipster that guy was.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well, sweet. That was a short review section today. We did not have a lot of reviews to do.
It's only been 3 days.
But yeah. we have an awesome question, so we're gonna get to that in just a minute, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. We had a really great Twitter question or nerd appropriate question this week for you all to answer. And it is, you are in a post-apocalyptic world. You can have one sidekick from any movie or game. Who do you choose and why? So because I'm starting, I guess that means that I'm on the floor. So I'm going to say Ripley from the Aliens movies because she's amazing. And she'd probably know how to kick some zombie ass if there are zombies in post-apocalyptia.
It's funny. A lot of people assumed there were zombies with the replies that we got. We didn't mention zombies, but a lot of people went towards zombies. But I think Ripley is a great choice. She is. Yeah. Now, is this Ripley, like, before she becomes part alien or after she becomes part alien?
Ooh, it would be kind of neat to have her when she's post-alien, but I think, yeah. Probably in Aliens, the second movie, because she's not as jaded. You know, maybe we can uncover Newt together.
You know, that's my favorite movie of all time, by the way.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, too.
Aliens is like amazing. Really, really up there. So, great answer. I think Ripley in Aliens would be, she can pretty much solve any issue that you guys are going to encounter during the apocalypse.
Yeah, I think so.
And she's very good with a flamethrower.
Yes. True.
If we need to blow up eggs.
Only eggs, though. Anything else, and she's out of her league.
No, but I think that she'd be a pretty cool person to, you know, pal around the wilderness of post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely.
Good. So I guess I'll read the first one as well. So Carlo, who is Platinum Fist, says, dog meat, man's best friend in a pre- and post-apocalyptic world, and there should be plenty of iguana on a stick to go around. This is very close to my heart.
I was going
to
say, this is pertinent, right?
Yeah, being that I'm playing Fallout New Vegas still. So,
yes.
Good stuff. But yeah. But he was in Fallout 3.
My dog meat died in Fallout 3. He kind of ran off into the wilderness, and like a week later, it's like, your pet has died. I was like, where the fuck did he go? Ran off, and I never saw him again. So it was a sad, sad day.
So the good news about Edie or Eddie or whatever, the little iBot that follows you around, is that he or she or it goes unconscious, doesn't actually
love. I like that they can't actually die in New Vegas. That's a nice addition.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Next, we have a reply from Shockwaver, who's at Shockwaver on Twitter. He says, Rom from DS9, that Ferengi can fix any piece of technology that we'd come across. And that's a good idea. Post-apocalyptic, you need someone who's going to be able to fix some tech. And he says, Rom from DS9. I never really watched DS9, to be perfectly honest with you.
Did you, Scott? I know that's kind of closer to your...
No, I haven't.
Your thing.
Not yet.
Huh.
I watched a little of it. The Ferengi are pretty interesting. Yeah.
You did. You were the one who asked about Star Trek last time compared to Star Wars, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I watched a Star Wars movie every day growing up, and I'm not even exaggerating. I'm not being hyperbolic at all. I loved Star Wars that much, but okay. I also loved Star Trek, so.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah, anything in space was up my alley.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Did you have nerdy parents, or did you just, like, gravitate to it yourself?
Sort of. I mean, they definitely were. We were a Star Wars family.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, but my dad would introduce me to, you know, like Wrath of Khan, you know, Star Trek style. I mean, he and I basically just spent a lot of time together watching sci-fi. So
cool. That's cool.
Thanks,
cool.
Dad.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Sash, you want to get Michael Coles?
Sure. Our good buddy at Michael Coles on Twitter, he says, the Mabari from Dragon Age Origins. No post-apocalyptic adventure is complete without a canine sidekick. And that Mabari is an ass kicker. And I hope in Dragon Age 3, yet to be announced, that the Mabari does make a return.
Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says, I'd choose Rick Grimes. Just look at his kills in The Walking Dead.
True.
So he's assuming zombies, I think. But I guess in any case, Rick Grimes would probably still be a good sidekick to have along with you, regardless of what you're fighting.
Yes. If you can stand that that North Carolina accent, or Georgia accent, rather.
Yeah. So, Scott, what would you say?
I actually had two answers. I have a guy answer and a girl answer, depending on the situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think my guy answer would be Monroe from Grimm, because he's a Blutbot, and he can just turn into a werewolf and take care of business.
All right. He does get his ass handed to him in, like, the sixth episode, though.
He does, but he's so funny, and he's got, like, you know, he's, like, the comic relief in the apocalyptic future. And then I think my female choice, and I'm gonna cheat a little bit because everything she's in is canceled anyways. I'm gonna pick Meta Summer Glau. So I'm gonna take Terminator, and then I'm gonna take the Doctor from Dollhouse.
Right.
And then I'm gonna take Orwell from The Cape. And I'm just gonna take
River Tam. Firefly, yeah.
River Tam, yeah. So I just want Meta Summer Glau to be Glau. My companion.
The curse of the Glau. You know that if you took her, you would get canceled as well.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, that's true. That's dangerous territory.
I'm fascinated. So you have a male and a female, just in case what you have to, like, repopulate the earth.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was just trying to think of, like, if it's like a
buddy. Because if that's the case,
I just want to, you know, if it's like a buddy movie or like a romantic kind of situation, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah. Wait, do you have a male one, Hillary? Did we?
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of dawned on me. What about Riddick? Like, you know, been.
Oh, Riddick. Well, okay. Yeah.
Good old Triple X.
If I had to, you know, repopulate.
Yeah, okay.
We'll give you that. Plus, he's pretty badass in a fight, so, you know.
Yeah.
That works out.
Definitely. And he doesn't have a speech impediment at all.
He also loves gaming, and he's super into D&D, so maybe you know, all those things combined.
Yeah. Right, I'm a Diesel fan, I'll say it. I'll repopulate the world with that man. Wait, what?
Actually, you won't, actually.
That's not how it works.
Would you take Vin Diesel over The Rock? I mean, he's like an action. Oh.
Yes.
What are we getting into here? Oh, we're asking Hillary.
Vin Diesel over The Rock? Ew. The Rock? No.
You don't smell with The Rock?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't smell.
No. You know who I always had a crush on, though, in The Mummy?
Like, really, this is totally just Cyrus. Who have you had a crush on, Hillary?
If you say this Brendan Fraser.
No. I loved Imhotep.
Oh.
The bad guy.
Yeah, what's his name?
Loved him.
I can't remember his name right now, but it'll come to me.
Oh, and the guy with the tattoos on his face. Yeah, The Mummy was a good movie for me.
You gotta come ride that ride at Universal then.
Yeah.
So anyways. Mia W, who is at Jedi Knight Mia, says it's between Hermione Granger and Willow Rosenberg, probably Willow. If you had to, whoa. So I think that would work. I mean, if you had to pick a Harry Potter sidekick, who would you pick? I mean, that seems like a tough choice.
Well, that's Harry Potter and Buffy, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, as far as Harry Potter characters go, I'm surprised we didn't get more of it.
Hermione's got to win, right?
Yeah.
I'd pick Hermione.
I know you would, Ash, but she's actually tougher. I think
you would take, like, what about Ginny Weasley? I mean, she's kind of a badass.
She
is. What about Voldemort? Guys, he's Voldemort.
Voldemort, yeah, but he'll kill you. I mean, you got to be trustworthy.
I think I would take Luna before Voldemort.
Oh, hell yeah.
Luna.
Black would be
so she would, like, lose her shoes all over the place.
Yeah, it'd be funny. You know, see, I feel like the thing that really gets flipped over in the apocalypse is that you not only need to survive, but you have to have a few laughs, too.
Well, Scott, that brings it perfectly to my answer.
Okay.
So, I'm bringing a bed with me.
What?
A bed?
Yeah, from Community.
Abed.
Oh, Abed.
He's hanging out with me. Me and him are just going to pretend time the entire time while we're walking around this horrible, because my apocalypse is like just vast wasteland with, like, you know, random things you might run into, but we'll handle it. We'll figure it out when we get to this.
So the world becomes your dreamatorium.
Yeah. We're just
like
hanging out.
Is there a reason you said his name like Chevy Chase said?
I don't know. It just came out of my mouth like that.
Abed?
He says Abed, yeah.
I'm going to bring Abed with me.
I just kind of, I put the wrong syllable, the wrong emphasis or whatever it is.
Yeah, the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, there you go. Mr. Slick, or did, right? Yeah, that's what we're on. Robert Freemering says Chuck Norris needs no explanation.
Roundhouse kick.
Good old Chuck Norris. Always a popular answer. Chuckster.
And Regina McAmoney, yeah?
No?
Mm-hmm. Okay. At Doc Liz, Spike from Buffy. He's sort of a sidekick, right? Because he's willing to sacrifice everything and save the world. I would. This is a great answer. I love me some vampires. Good job.
No, Spike was an incredible character, and he was had probably one of the most interesting arcs in the entire Buffy series. So definitely, like, in the fact that they brought him over to Angel and stuff was a great little twist in that last season. So. Spike is a great answer. Awesome.
Love it.
Also, Arnold Vosloo is the actor we are looking for
thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I'm also learning that you definitely have a type. That's what I'm learning right now.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And Hillary has a mummy fetish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mummy fetish.
Yeah, a mummy fetish.
No, but I also like the guy with the tattoos on his face. Yeah, yeah. With the long hair.
Could be like, tan gentleman.
All right, so fine. Next up, Scott, why don't you take us to the next one?
Oh, geez, where are we? Phoenix Blue says Garrus because he's my favorite Turian sniper in the Citadel.
Aw.
He's
a good buddy.
Fans.
He is definitely like the you know, prototypical buddy companion. You know what I mean? Like, he's always got your back, telling jokes, makes you feel better, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You don't even get mad at each other, you know, you just kind of hang out, say it, and he's just like, yeah, it's cool, don't worry about it.
If the conversations go the right way, he kind of makes it happen, if you know what I mean.
Did you guys see the video that I think Kotaku posted of him, of the actual voice actor? I'm moving past, the actual voice actor who was in an episode of like CSI
Brandon
or
Keener.
Something. Yeah.
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I'm so excited about that.
He's in like CSI or something, and it doesn't sound like Garrus at all until he gets like super serious, and then his voice drops like an octave, and he's like, you know, I can blah 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 blah, and it's like it all of a sudden is Garrus coming out of the guy just like standing there. It was weird. It was creepy. You gotta see it. Anyways,
cool.
Yeah, he's in a lot of commercials too. There's one commercial where he's like a philanderer. It's like a speed dating thing, and he's telling the girl that nothing mattered before he met her. I don't know if you've seen it. It's hilarious.
To catch up.
Apparently he was on Castle as well.
Oh, yes. Castle. That's what the show was. He was on Castle. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So at HemiArt, good friend Bethany says, Batman as played by Adam West, zombie repellent bat spray. Need I say more? Also, I'm all right. So I'm thinking Darwin from Sequest DSV. Oh, she posted twice, right?
Yeah.
She said Darwin from Sequest DSV, only with sweet robot legs and a rocket launcher, maybe a top hat too. Darwin,
oh, Darwin from Sequest.
That's a dolphin.
That was a dolphin,
robot
right?
Legs.
Oh my god. Didn't Darwin talk?
Yeah.
What was the kid's name?
Most had a huge crush on him.
It's like Lucas or something?
What was his name? His
real name was Jonathan
Jonathan Brandis.
Yeah.
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 And Darwin had like a horrible like
Jonathan Brandis. No.
Wait, that's the voice that you used last week to correct me on my Star Wars lore.
That's the only voice I got.
Come on, man. Build up your repertoire.
I have currently
I'm gonna be a voice actor one day.
I have currently in this room an action figure of Jonathan Brandis from Sequest DSV.
Oh wow.
Melissa is that big of a fan, apparently.
Daniel All Patterson. Right. Daniel Pat. Rex, because Rex. Good answer.
Yes.
Shepherd. I love Shepherd.
Rex is great.
Rex is...
Ooh, the cops like him, too.
All right. Nate Hales, our buddy from Press to Reset, at Nate Hales 80 on Twitter, he says, I'm taking Nightcrawler. He's super badass, can hold his own in a fight, and if push comes to shove, bamf, we out. I love Nightcrawler.
Out.
Especially
I like the word
when
bamf.
I'm a kid, like... Nightcrawler was one of my favorite characters, so gotta love Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler is awesome.
He was awesome in the arcade game, too.
Yes, Nightcrawler is a super cool character.
So, Scott, Bill?
So, now for our listeners, you can actually respond on nerdappropriate.com. We're going to post the question every week. So, Bill responded on our website, said, Chewbacca, seriously, in a post-apocalyptic world, who is going to mess with a guy that has a Wookiee by his side? Plus, he can keep you warm during those long nights out in the wasteland. he's got a bowcaster.
I was going to say a bowcaster. Come on. Yeah.
That's true.
He's a big dude. Like, no one's going to mess with you. I think that's perfectly valid.
I like the idea of Chewbacca keeping you warm at night.
Well, he's got that life debt, man.
You would.
The life debt. True.
So, Ash, I don't think you've said yours yet.
Well, it's weird. We just did a Star Wars one, but the first one that popped into my mind for my male companion on this adventure, Yoda from Empire Strikes Back. I just pictured me running across the apocalyptic wasteland with a little green dude strapped to my back and him just kind of like laughing and like force throwing crap out of my way. I really wouldn't have to do anything. He'd just kind of be like, throw crap. go get some food and it'd be great. And plus,
guide
he's like,
you on your way.
Yeah. I mean, he's, got the wisdom of the ages. So, that. And, for female companion, I'd probably have to say maybe Jill Valentine from Resident Evil.
There you go.
She would kill everything. And she looks good in a blue miniskirt.
Oh, Lord.
Welcome, new voice.
I think I didn't do a female one, did I?
No.
Who would it be? Maybe Jean Grey.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Ooh, good one.
Phoenix Jean Grey or pre-Phoenix Jean Grey?
Fucking Dark Phoenix. She'll just wipe out everything if anything goes wrong.
She is the apocalypse.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe she both caused the apocalypse and is hanging out with me during the apocalypse.
Sure.
Last one is a weird icon. What is that an icon of?
Looks like two girls giving each other a back massage.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't know what that is.
That definitely looks like...
What's that third thing?
I don't know.
I don't know. Confusing.
Well, good buddy Jay Boomy says, this is an easy one. I'd pick Lydia from Skyrim. She's my wife. She runs a store out of the house, giving me an endless cash flow, and if I wanted, she'd fight by my side. What more could anyone ask?
Oh, a personality?
But doesn't every house have a Lydia? I mean, I feel like she was Breezehome, right?
Yeah.
She was a part of, she was that first town that you went to. But there's a million little Lydias. Right?
Aren't there?
Metaphorical.
Yes. But that is a good one.
Yes. Well, I hope the apocalypse doesn't come because I'm sure not going to be able to have Yoda on my side.
Yeah, I don't think I'll find Jean Grey. Although I did kind of meet Danny Pudi, so maybe I can get Abed to come hang out with me.
That's right.
Indeed.
I touched Danny Pudi once.
That's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a good thing.
Wow.
This wasn't too bad for a 3-day turnaround, right?
No. Yeah, let's grade our podcast on the podcast. I think we got a B+, guys.
We did. I'm really proud of us.
I'm going for a minus. I have to say, one of my favorite things is figuring out what the hell the name is going to be. I'm always like really happy when I'm like, oh, that's what it was. Stick in the Spokes. That was good. Yeah. I liked
that.
That
was hilarious.
I like that he called it Stick in the Spokes, and you got in my holy guacamole in there, too. I was proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it for this week, guys. This is episode 59 for Rated NA for nerdappropriate.com. You can find us on Twitter @nerdappropriate, @Facebook/nerdappropriate, and possibly this week with a much stronger presence on Google+ for real now. Which will be @Google.com/numbers and letters because they don't have personalized URLs. You can email us all at Scott, Ash, Matt, and now Hillary, 1L, @nerdappropriate.com.
Yay! So exciting.
I did it in the middle of the podcast.
So, multitasking.
Hillary, do you still want to give out your Twitter info and that stuff?
Sure. So you can tweet at me as well @HillaryHeskett, 1L, 2 T's. So I threw that down because I know you love it, Matt. So yes, you can tweet at me, and apparently now you can email me at nerdappropriate.com.
There you go.
And like us on Facebook or something.
So we'll see you guys. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Bye.